Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. From the dozens of series on our podcast, to the Qalam app, all the classes that Qalam does online, all the lectures, live events, and different programs that Qalam conducts for the benefit of the community, completely free of charge. Please go to supportqalam.com and support our efforts so that we can continue doing this work, we can increase our efforts, and you can secure your sadaqah jariyah and have a share in all the reward and good that is going on. Once again, please go to supportqalam.com, donate and contribute generously. The following session is from the Qalam Qiyam in Ramadan 2020, where all of our instructors came together to deliver a night of inspirational talks and lectures on the 27th night of Ramadan. I hope and pray that you find the following lecture beneficial. Jazakumullahu khairan.
I was told that, you know, I didn't give an extensive bio of Sheikh Muntasir and Sheikh Mikhail and some of the other presenters, and I forget that these are my colleagues. These are people that I used to see every day. Inshallah, we'll see every day again. But next up, I'll give you a brief introduction of Sheikh Abdul Nasser. Everything that I thought of, I felt would make him very uncomfortable. And I figure I might as well lean into that a little bit. So just to give a reference that everybody can understand, so the whole family can appreciate this reference, Sheikh Abdul Nasser is the Tony Stark, the Iron Man that got all of this started, got Qalam Institute started, and started to recruit people and assemble a team, and assemble a group of people to do good. And those are the group of people that you're listening to. And he not only gathered people, but also made it the mission of this institution to develop people. And you're also experiencing and listening from those people as well. So that's Sheikh Abdul Nasser in a nutshell, founder of Qalam Institute, and the one who has brought us all together to and allowing us to kind of serve and benefit in whatever way that we can. And he'll be continuing, inshallah, talking about the topic of dua.
So I don't know if I should actually go ahead and mention, since it is a blessed night and we're supposed to be focusing on important things, but spoiler alert, Tony Stark dies. So I'm not sure exactly where Ustad Baylo was going with that analogy, but hopefully.
Sorry, I didn't really take it that far. I just came out protected and preserve your shake.
Barakallahu feekum. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope and pray, inshallah, everyone is well, everyone is safe and sound, everyone is having a very blessed month of Ramadan and having a very blessed last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, and then tonight being the 27th night. I wanted to also, mashallah, welcome the ASL, the sign language interpreters that we have on here with us today, and all of our brothers and sisters, all of our deaf brothers and sisters all around the world who are tuning into the program. And hopefully we were able to do a little bit in terms of being able to make the program a little bit more accessible for them. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq and the ability, the concern of some of the brothers and sisters who reached out to us and suggested this to us. And Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, mashallah, was at the head of really pushing to, inshallah, make it happen. And so may Allah reward everyone. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, I wanted to talk a little bit about dua. We've heard very powerful, beautiful, moving reminders from all of our teachers and all of our scholars. We've heard the moving words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of Allah, the Quran. And I thought that I could maybe add a few more comments in regards to the idea of dua. So what exactly is dua, right? That's kind of a concept, because I think Sheikh Muntasir said something very fascinating where he said that it's kind of taken on this ritualistic, almost kind of cumbersome, burdensome form, where something is just being said or recited and I'm just kind of joining along. But he talked about you pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam At-Tibi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar, he says, هُوَ إِظْهَارُ غَايَةِ التَّذَلُّلِ وَالْإِفْتِقَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. It is to really humble yourself in front of your Lord. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, the way that he taught us to make dua, even the physical form of it, where one sits on their knees, face to the best of one's ability, facing in the direction of the Kaaba, the Qibla, the direction that we pray in, and then you spread your hands out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this, like a beggar, like a beggar. And so it's this very humbling moment that you have in front of Allah. Imam al-Munawi, he says, هو لسان الافتقار بشرح الاضطرار, that it is really to completely express your need, your destitution in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just demonstrating and laying out exactly how desperate you are for the mercy and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about throughout the Quran. Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord has said, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, call out to me and I will answer you. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, call out to Allah, talk to Allah, and be sincere when you talk to Allah. أُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً, call out to your Lord with humility and in solitude and privacy, so that you can really have a vulnerable moment with Allah. Sheikh Muntasir referenced the first part of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my servants, they ask you about me, Allah then answers himself, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I indeed am near. I have always been near. I am near. And I will always be near to you. And then the next part of the ayah really has always fascinated me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُجِيبُ, I always answer. Da'wa ad-da'i idha da'ani, the call of the one who calls whenever he or she calls me. If you can hear the repetition, you can hear it in the Arabic sound, da'wa da'i idha da'ani. And then for if you're not able to quite catch it in the Arabic, in English, the call of the one who calls whenever he or she calls me. And that kind of repetition, the scholars explain to us that what it means in the Arabic language, that kind of repetition is to emphasize a point. Allah is saying that the gap, the problem, the issue has never been about Allah answering our prayers. The problem, the gap, has been that we haven't been asking. We haven't been talking. We're the ones who are missing from the conversation. We're the ones who have betrayed the relationship. We're the ones who are missing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that and says, I'm right here. I've always been here. And I'm waiting to answer. Nothing compares to Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing compares to Allah. But if I may give a small, humble little example to facilitate some understanding. Imagine you have someone that is very near and dear and beloved to you. And you have been kind of distant from that person. And after being distant from that person for a while, when you talk to that person and you say, you know, you didn't answer my call. You haven't spoken to me. And that person says, I sat by the phone every single day. Every single time I heard a sound outside my house, I opened my door and looked to see if it was you. Every time my phone buzzed or rang, I immediately picked it up to see if it was you. But you never called. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And this is the night where we can correct that. So I wanted to spend a little moment before I conclude with just something that I hope can create a little inspiration and motivation. I wanted to just spend a very brief moment in talking about how we can kind of exercise this beautiful, powerful act of talking to Allah, how we can exercise it properly. Imam al-Ghazali, rahmallahu ta'ala, a great scholar from the religion, from the history of Islam, in his work, Ihya Ulum al-Din, he talks about some of the etiquette of dua. Number one, he says that you look for special moments, special times. And this is a very, very special moment and a very special time. He said, you look for moments like situations that you find yourself in where you particularly feel motivated to make that dua. And this is definitely a moment. It's Ramadan, it's the last 10 nights, it's the 27th night, and we're in the midst of a global crisis. This is a very powerful moment. He says that if you can, even though these things are not required for dua, but if you can, try to sit facing in the direction of prayer, the Qibla. And then when you actually make dua, when you talk to Allah, really be vulnerable. Really open up and expose yourself. Lay it all out in front of Allah. And the fifth thing that he mentions is, be a bit insistent in your dua. And yulihha fi dua, which means to be a bit persistent in your dua. And there's something very beautiful about this, right? Usually we're like, you don't want to be too persistent because you don't want to be rude. No. Right? In one of the earlier talks, I believe Ustada Fatima was talking about how Allah is more merciful upon His slaves and His servants than a mother is to her newborn baby. And think about how a small child insists and persists in demanding something from his or her parents. And Allah is far above and beyond that example, but you understand what I'm saying. It is endearing and beloved to Allah for us to insist and persist. Ya Allah, I'm not leaving here tonight without forgiveness. Oh Allah, I'm not leaving here tonight without your love and your acceptance and your forgiveness. Well, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to sit right here until I get what I came for. To start and conclude your dua, as inshallah Ustad Abdul Rahman will illustrate for us, to start and conclude your dua with the remembrance of Allah, the praise and the glorification of God. Right? Sheikh Muntasir talked about how it's like you keep knocking on the door and it'll be answered. So really begin with and conclude with the praise and the glorification of Allah. And also sending peace and blessings and salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Peace and blessings be upon him. For he taught us everything that we know. He is our teacher. And in your dua, as you ask for things, don't forget to ask for the most important thing. And that was, we heard two reminders in regards to that, and that is forgiveness. Tawbah has to be built into one dua. Tawbah has to be built into it. And so make sure that you utilize the moment and the opportunity to beg and plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and for mercy on this particular night, as we've heard earlier. I wanted to mention, Sheikh Muntasir referenced that a lot of times we get caught up in, you know, whether our du'as are answered or not. There's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a prophetic tradition, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the books of Musnad Ahmad and others, where the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُو بِدَعْوَةٍ. Whenever a believer calls out to Allah and talks to Allah, لَيْسَ فِيَا إِثْمٌ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ. And the dua does not involve anything inappropriate or wrong. He specifically mentions sin and severing of family relations. Like, you're not praying for bad things. إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا. Allah grants the dua of that person. Guaranteed it is answered. Guaranteed it is answered. Absolutely, without a shred of a doubt. And he says, إِحْدَى ثَلَاثٌ. It's answered in one of three ways though. And this is where faith comes in. This is where we just got to believe. إِمَّا أَن يُعَجَّلَ لَهُ دَعْوَتَهُ. Number one is that إِمَّا أَن يُعَجِّلَ لَهُ دَعْوَتَهُ. Either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expedites the answering of the dua of the person. You get what you asked for. Number two, maybe what you're asking for is not the best thing for you here. Because you see, our relationship with Allah is not like a, you know, I give the analogy, and again, I apologize if the analogy is a bit, as they say, basic. But our interaction with Allah is not like a cashier at a store, where if I walk up with a grocery cart to the cash register and I have a whole cart full of 100 bottles of ketchup, which I can't imagine anyone having that much use for ketchup. And it doesn't make any sense for me to buy that. I don't own a restaurant. The cashier will not say, are you sure you want to do this? Is this the best use of your money? Is this the best decision that you're... No, the cashier is not going to be concerned about any of that. The cashier will probably laugh at my expense and then ring up 100 bottles of ketchup and then tell me how much money I owe them. They don't care. There's no investment. But then think about like a financial advisor or a financial planner. That if I go to my financial advisor and I say, I want to buy a boat. And I live in Dallas, Texas. There's no reason to own a boat here. So if I say that I want to buy a boat, my financial advisor is going to say, why? Are you sure? Is this the best thing to do? Is this the right time to be spending that kind of money? Do you understand all the maintenance, all the costs, et cetera? Go on and on and on and on and on. And will make every effort to convince me not to make a bad decision. Because there's some investment. And this is a very lowly example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'ufun Rahim, Wadudun Kareem. Allah is compassionate and merciful, loving and kind and generous. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I'm making dua, I'm asking for something now, here, in this dunya, in this life. And it's not good for me here. وَإِمَّا أَن يَدَّخِرَهَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Allah invests that dua for me into the life of the hereafter. That maybe, just maybe, that dua that I made that was not good for me here, I will find myself on the day of judgment standing before the mizan, the scale, where my deeds are being weighed and my sins are a little bit heavier than my good deeds are. And at that time, this good deed will be placed onto the other side that will make my good deeds weigh heavy and grant me admission into paradise. And what is that one thing that will be placed in there? That will be the dua that Allah invested for me and stored for me into my akhirah. And then, maybe I'm asking for something that doesn't have any benefit here and doesn't have any meaning and purpose in the hereafter. But I'm being immature. I'm being neglectful. Maybe there's something more immediate that I need to be praying for. We're in the middle of a health crisis. I need to be praying for my safety. I need to be praying for my health. I need to be praying for the health of my family. I need to be praying for the well-being of my children. But I'm not looking at those things because I'm being immature or I'm distracted or I'm in a moment of just, you know, neglect. And I'm asking for something else. Allah loves us and cares about us so much that Allah will convert the result of my dua and give me the thing that I should have been asking for and I didn't even ask for. Allah will give me that. This is the kindness and the generosity of our Lord. This is why we never lose faith in our Lord. And Ustad Abdurrahman is going to be making, you know, going to be conducting a dua with us, inshallah. But I wanted to share just kind of we've all talked about, and Sheikh Muntasir specifically referenced, the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ are so riveting and captivating, breathtaking, awe-inspiring. So I wanted to share a little sample of that. The Prophet ﷺ, one of the most painful personal experiences that he had in his life was when he went from Mecca to the city of Ta'if to go there and to deliver the message of Allah to the people of Ta'if. He went there for them, for their good, for their salvation, for their benefit. But unfortunately, they turned on him. And they decided to inflict terrible pain on him. And they stoned him. They threw rocks at him for 3 miles while he walked, aiming at his feet to the point where his feet were covered in blood. And when they finally let up, after 3 miles of throwing rocks at him nonstop, and his feet were soaked in blood, his sandals became glued to his feet by the blood drying up, the Prophet ﷺ sat down under the shade of a tree and he raised his arms up, his hands up to the heavens, and he prayed to Allah. And he said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dhu'fa quwwati. My Lord, I complain to you of my own weakness. I am weak. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي I complain to you of my lack of resourcefulness. I was not resourceful enough. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ And I complain to you that I did not command enough respect in the eyes of these people. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Oh, most merciful of all those capable of showing any mercy. Ila man takiluni. Who will you leave me to? Ila aduwin yatajahamuni. Am ila ba'idin malaktahu amri. That you will leave me to the enemy and let him have his way with me, or leave me to somebody who doesn't care for me and allow him to torment me. Even if the worst thing in the world happened to me, O Allah, these people could have done worse than what they did today. إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ غَضْبَانٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ غَضْبَانَ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. That as long as you are not upset and angry with me, O Allah, I don't care what these people do. I just need you on my side, O Allah. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. However, I do ask you for your protection and your mercy. أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات. I take refuge in the light of your face that is enough to dispel all the darkness. وصلح عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة. And your love that is enough to fix all the problems of this world and the next. أن ينزل بي غضبك. I ask that you never be angry with me. أو يحل بي سخطك. I ask that you are never displeased with me. لك العتبة حتى ترضى. I will continue to serve you until you are pleased with me. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And there is no ability to do good and no strength to resist evil except that it is granted by you. These are the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is called du'a al-mustada'afin, a du'a that a person makes when they are distressed. We are all distressed. The worldly circumstances, our own personal situations, as we heard in the earlier talks, maybe the distance that we've felt from Allah, we're all distressed. And this is how we can come closer to Allah and bridge that gap between us and Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Udu Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Call out to Allah, beg Allah, pray to Allah, and you are fully convinced of the fact that He will answer you. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know for a fact that Allah does not answer the dua, the call that comes from a heart, مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهِن, from a heart that is neglectful of Allah and a heart that is disconnected from Allah. Hopefully through this night, and through this month of Ramadan, and through all the worship that we've done, and through these reflections and reminders and recitation of the Quran, our heart right now is connected to Allah. Let's capitalize on the moment and use this opportunity to have a conversation with Allah that we know and we believe will not be rejected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Again, Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in and for spending this night reflecting and hopefully coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah, Shaykh Abdul Nasir.